I have met a lot of Nova Scotians since I got here this morning. Am I the only Newfoundlander here? Ah, there you go. You too? Awesome. So there's not enough of us to take over. Anyway, as I start, I want to bring you greetings from home. And I know I am a come from away. But I have to say to you, we arrived here Wednesday evening, and the warmth, the hospitality, and the welcome we received is just as good or better than what you would get in Newfoundland. So I want to thank you for that. I want to bring you greetings, of course, on behalf of our diocese. Now, we're the Diocese of Central Newfoundland, which is exactly that, right down through the center of the island. We have, at the present time, we have 29 parishes, and we have 110 congregations there. But that figure is changing. It's changing all the time. When I became the bishop, we had 32 parishes, and we've had a number of congregations that have made decisions about what they should do with their future, and some of our churches have actually closed. But that's a longer story. I'll come back to that in a little bit, Matthew. But first, I just want to sort of warn you that my wife is not here. And when Karen goes to church with me, she times me. And if I go beyond 12 minutes, she taps her watch. And if I don't stop, she throws a BAS at me. But I'm just so honored to be here with you, so thankful. So what I thought I'd do is just sort of share a little bit about who I am in our diocese, explain why we're here, and then see what common ground we can share spiritually in terms of me speaking to you, if that's okay. So we're probably a little bit longer than 10 minutes, but there it is, right? I'm going to ask you to help me out a bit, though. I really need to be made to feel at home here. And one thing that we have as a constant in the Anglican Church is when someone says something, you respond, and also with you, right? You know what I'm talking about? Lord be with you.
And also with you.
All right, so I'm going to say something, and I need you to respond, everyone, and say, and also with you, all right? There's something wrong with this microphone. Do me a favor, will you? Don't tell my wife I did that. Here I am. My name is John, from Central Newfoundland, a former mechanic. I am a father of four girls who are very much in love with God, but not so much with the church. I have seven grandchildren. And they are quite something. And those of you who are grandparents know exactly what I'm talking about. I love this fellow here. I mean, I was trying to make a point, and he said, this is taking forever. Yeah, well. And I was a mechanic in Newfoundland, and there's a long story that we all have, and I just want to give you a general idea of who I am and where I came from. I spent time in Ontario when I was a kid because my father was in the military. And my parents really had a rough time of it. And as a result, they broke up, came together, they kept trying. But it just got so out of hand. Long, long story short, I was 13 years old living on the streets of Toronto. And the image I had of God was that if God was like my father, he was angry, he was abusive, and he was out to get me. And one point I want to make, as sort of an adjunct to what you just heard in the gospel, you know, when Jesus is saying that not one little bit of the law will pass until everything is fulfilled and your righteousness has to exceed that of everybody else, you do know he was being sarcastic, right? You know that. Because what Jesus was saying is that if you presume to hold people to that little standard, then God's going to do the same to you. And the only standard that God wants to hold us to is love. In all things, love. So when I was a young man, I didn't learn that. I how could I? There was no way. So I go through life and get married to the most beautiful woman in Newfoundland, and we start having children. By the time our second child was born, I was ready to go and get this baby baptized, and we refused it. But when I went back to church, I was welcomed in this little tiny congregation with open arms. No judgment, nothing. Just, wow, you're back. So that's the person that's standing before you this morning, totally convinced of healing and reconciliation, and wanting to get past the hubris so that people can experience God's love without hesitation, you know? Now, you may notice my voice is a bit, I don't know what word I'd use to describe it, a bit thick. 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had throat cancer, and I was told you can have all these treatments, that's the only chance you got, and if it doesn't work, we'll operate, and we'll cut out your tongue, and we'll cut out your voice box, and we'll see if we can keep you alive. And I went through the most horrendous time of my life. At the end of the treatments, they called my wife and said, "Karen, sorry, it didn't work." And they gave me 3 months to live. Fool them. But what happened is that was sort of a premature judgment. I went back for an MRI, and they discovered that John, you're going to make it. And as we say in Newfoundland, never cried, never tear, I know. It was a powerful time. And that changed me theologically. As a priest in the church, as a bishop now, I would say this to you, Matthew, is that one of the most important things that I learned is that people have questions about God. And that's okay. And we're here together as pilgrims trying to sort that out. And one of the theological lessons I learned from having a cancer that left my throat paralyzed, by the way, you know, and when they told me I'd never talk again or sing, and I do both, to me it's a representation of what. And I won't say the world, because I believe God is active in the world, but what's happening is that there's this force that's trying to choke the life out of you as a church. And I felt that very much, like there was this dark force trying to choke the life out of me. And I have been healed. I've been healed by doctors, by science, by faith, by community. And the church is the ideal place to bring all that together. So that, in essence, is who I am as a bishop, who I am as a person. And in our diocese, we are going through this incredible time of change. Newfoundland is a place where the church was in charge of everything. When I first became a priest, I had an office in school. During an election time, the church would fill up with politicians. Now they won't go to church because they're afraid they're going to be seen, right? It's just a complete reversal, isn't it? I grew up in rural Newfoundland, and we were, what we say in Newfoundland, we were drove to church. And in our community, if you didn't go to church, everybody looked down on you. Something wrong with that crowd. They don't go to church, right? Now, if you go to church, something wrong with you. Isn't that true? And yet, in our churches today, we have this incredible new energy that's being shared across the country. So as a bishop, my role, whether I'm in central Newfoundland or wherever I am, is to listen very carefully to what the Holy Spirit is saying among the people. And in a few moments, one of our young people, I understand, is going to be singing. And I suspect that her song will be more powerful than my sermon. My task as a bishop is to be among the people, to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church through them. And then wherever I go, I make sure that one voice is heard so that there's unity. And so I'm here today in that role. I'm feeling the weight of being in this pulpit this morning, because I don't want you to be listening to a stranger. And I want to hear and learn from you, and also for you to feel from the heart of Newfoundland what we're going through there as well. So let me pay a little bit of attention to that gospel reading, other than that mini sermon I gave you. In Newfoundland, when I grew up, and of course even now to a point, salt was incredibly important to us, and it was ubiquitous. You know, it was everywhere, because we were fisher folk. I grew up on different parts of the country, but Newfoundland, Change Islands, is my home. I don't know if any of you here know where Change Islands is, but it's out in Norderdane Bay, and it's a fishing community. And when I was a child, we used to go there, and we had to tend the fish for grandfather. He was a fisherman. And you'd take the fish, and you spread them out on a flake, and you cover them with salt, and you'd go back once in a while and turn them over, and, you know. So salt was everything to us, and it was everywhere. Of course, we lived on the ocean, so we had this connection to it. And as Matthew was saying this morning in his address, salt is essential for healing, it's essential for nutrition, and of course, preservation. But you did mention that they used it in building, right, in cement? Not in Newfoundland. I'll tell you that. You put salt in your cement in Newfoundland, your building will fall down in 3 years. But I guess a certain amount is okay. You know? But what I've seen happening in Newfoundland, and I'm going somewhere with this, is that salt became almost like it is everywhere else. One time it was a symbol of who we were, salt fish, you know, leggies and rounders and all that kind of stuff. And now, sure, if you go and get a piece of salt fish, you got to pay a fortune for it. It's a rarity now. Fishermen, or as we say in Newfoundland, will go to the plant, they unload their cargo, their fish, and they don't see it anymore. Now it's processed, like everything else. So somehow, the use of salt in our culture has changed, and that's the point that I guess I wanted to share with you. In our diocese, we are experiencing great change. The numbers of people who are connected to churches is dropped. The average age of the congregation is increasing. I'm looking around here this morning to see some young faces, and seeing a few children here does the heart good. And the fact that you're, I don't know what to call you. Are you the incumbent or what are you? Oh, okay, Buddy, what's his name over here? He's a young man. And my conversations with him, I can assure you that he loves you people. And he's honored to be here to serve you. Support him. He's taken some chances. And we're, you know, I am really, really pleased to call you a friend. I'll be watching you. You know, I'm not your bishop, so you don't have to worry about me. But what we've seen happening there is sort of the same trend that's everywhere. And young people, we always say young people have either left the church or they don't care, they're walking away from Christianity. But I would say to you, the reason for that is because we've had three or four generations that have walked away. This is not new. It's not new at all. And so I'm going around my diocese, and I'm having meetings with people, and most often when I'm doing a service, it's a confirmation, right? And of course, in most of our confirmation classes, we have this huge issue because we have to compete with hockey and organized sports and travel and all that, and so we're saying to the kids, confirmation is about commitment, so we want you in church on Sunday. Oh, I can't go on Sundays. I got hockey. Well, how about our midweek service on Wednesday? Oh, no, I got gymnastics. There's always something. And so there's this shift in culture. And rather than us sit in churches and say, well, shame on you, what we need to be doing is listening to God. God is hiding away out there. God is saying, come on, let's play. Come out, come out, come out. And I don't think that's any different anywhere. The reason why we came here to the valley, the parish of the valley, is that we've heard good things about you. In the East Coast, in Newfoundland, we have heard good things about you. I heard about the way you're trying to keep your churches alive and to bring new things into focus. And I called my archdeacon up and I said, Terry, phone the Diocese of Ottawa and find out what they're doing. And you know, when we called the diocese, the first thing that we heard was, why don't you come and visit us? And I said, yeah, let's go. So here we are. But they did tell me I was going to be able to go swimming. So do you hear what I'm saying here? You guys are doing a good job. And I know that you're in the early stages, and some of you have said to me, you know, well, we don't know where this is going, but we're going to take it because it's wonderful so far. So please keep it up. Keep up that good work and trust and faith in each other and in God. And I'll tell you, you know, we have so much in common. I'm meeting, this weekend when I go home, I am meeting with a deanery, a large deanery. We have four parishes in this large spread out area, and they've reached a point where they do not know how much longer one or two of these parishes are going to be able to survive. And we have strong parishes in that area, and they've agreed to start talking about reorganizing the way we do ministry. So I want to thank you, and I do hope I have a chance to speak to some of you later. I understand we're going to a farm. I am not going outdoors, but you never know. But if you get a chance to chat with me, tell me how you feel. I would deeply appreciate that, really. And I will bring back your love and best wishes to our diocese. I wish I had more time. I'd like to be in a basement now leading a workshop so we can all share ideas about what's happening. But I have to let you know that, you know, St. Paul would say, your works have been heard and seen across this country. And I want to thank you for that. And let you know that we'll be praying for you. We'll be watching you. And we will hope to be able to share stories in the future of how we have so much in common because of the love of Jesus. This is not my normal type of sermon. Usually I'm jumping around and walking around the church, but here I am. Thank you so much for listening this morning and for your warm welcome. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just let me pray with you. Father, the Spirit is moving. And I wish we had more time to tell stories of your presence in the community and in the church to encourage each other and to share. But that's why we have a church, so that each and every day we can share our stories and our lives with one another. And as I stand here in the midst of this congregation, I thank you for helping me to love them, if not know them. I do know, Lord, that some of the lives in this church, many of the lives, all of the lives, need care, need your benediction, and need the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. So in Jesus' name, now I ask a blessing of healing, of hope, upon their personal lives, upon their lives as Christians, and upon the lives of those they love. Father, we gather here this morning. Morning light once again has called us. May your summons bring a blessing of hope to those with energy, a blessing of healing to the broken. May your voice show us where to find all we need to find one another and walk as one through this day. Amen.